This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Tomorrow, a representative from the Lee County Sheriff's Office will present a training session for members of faith-based institutions to help them prepare in case they are ever faced with an active shooter situation. Staff Officer Scott Griffith has led dozens of such seminars in recent years, and we'll find out what he teaches folks and how that training has changed as more such incidents continue to occur across the country. But first, about 10 years ago, a group of men in Naples decided they wanted to do something to help the Shelter for Abused Women and Children. It started with a luncheon fundraiser and has grown into a program that sends advocates out into schools and community organizations to teach young men that you don't have to be aggressive or violent in order to be a man. During the 2015-16 school year, the Gentlemen Against Domestic Violence program conducted 163 presentations, reaching more than 4,000 young men and boys in Collier County. Joining me now to discuss the program are two of its members. First, we have Colin Estrom. He's the Gentlemen Against Domestic Violence Tailgate Chair. Colin, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, Julie.
And Steve Augerbear is a Raising Gentlemen advocate. He goes out to schools to conduct presentations. Steve, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Julie.
And we'd like to hear from you this hour. You can join our conversation by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. We are also joined today by a professor at FGCU. Yaro Garcia. She's a professor at FGCU in the criminal justice discourse called domestic violence. So she's going to be joining us for the show throughout to kind of bounce around ideas between this organization. And we were finding before we went on the air that there are a lot of questions and answers that can be bounced around. So thanks for joining the show.
Thank you, Julie.
First, I want to start with Colin. Can you give me some background on the program that you started down there?
And I didn't start it. There's actually a group of five guys about 10 years ago that they started holding a lunch to support the shelter. And from that grew the idea of creating a program that sent advocates into the community to teach children about domestic violence. So I've been involved for 4 years, and I'm helping plan the tailgate party, which is coming up this spring. And basically, we support the shelter. We plan this event, and we're learning about all the things that Steve's doing now in the community with the Raising Gentlemen program.
Okay, Steve, tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
So the Raising Gentlemen program, what I do is I go around the community to not only schools but also other organizations, and I educate boys and young men about that it's to break that stereotypical cycle of where people think that in order to be a man, you need to be aggressive or violent, when indeed, in fact, to be polite, to be respectful, to have compassion, that is what being a man is all about.
This seems like over the course of history, being the big guy, being the tough guy, being the bully on the school ground was kind of a goal for little boys growing up, and you're trying to turn that around?
That's correct.
Do you see it turning around a little bit?
Yes, I do.
How are the boys responding? Do you ever talk with girls too?
Yes, actually, and that's what's interesting is that even though the message is geared towards the boys, but it's also important for the girls to see that you know, for example, you don't want to have girls to think, you know, violence is okay. So by educating them all together, actually, you can they become aware of the fact that, okay, you know, it's okay to maybe date someone that's kind and that's polite and that's respectful. You know?
Yeah, the whole cultural thing of tough guy, strong guy, aggressive guy, that's ingrained not only in boys but also in girls who may be seeking those things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting seeing Steve describe the curriculum and just comparing it to how I, you know, the messages I got when I was a kid, you know, and the gender stereotypes are changing and need to change.
Yeah, it seems like it's a great message. And then we were talking with Yaro Garcia. She's a professor at FGCU with a criminal justice course entitled Domestic Violence. And you look at the reasons it happens and what kind of things are coming into play. How does something like this group of men trying to talk with young people about changing these cultural, you know, norms or what these kind of expectations, how do these things play into domestic violence overall?
Yeah, this is a great question. What they're doing can be pretty powerful. It may be that the boys that they're talking to at school, this is the very first time that they're hearing this kind of message that they're presenting. So, for example, a boy who lives in an environment where he is already experiencing or seeing domestic violence or lives or in a culture or is part of a culture where domestic violence or aggression is accepted towards women, they have never seen or heard otherwise. So when they're hearing these men who are adults, successful professionals, providing them with this message that you don't have to do that and there is another way to communicate with your partner or be a partner to your partner, this can be pretty powerful.
So we were talking before we went on the air, and I think it's really interesting to try to figure out, where does domestic violence come from? Why is it a thing? Why does it continue to persist? What do you teach in your course?
Yes. So we know that there is a repetition of this pattern and that it can go from generation to generation. We also know that this is a learned behavior. And when you look at what drives domestic violence or perpetrating or hitting or aggression or emotional abuse or psychological abuse, you start to look at the root of the problem and you start to realize that what you're seeing is an issue of an insecurity that is displayed towards trying to create power and control over the other person.
So at what point in a person's life do they become an abuser? When is that stage set? Does that happen during the most insecure phase of people's life when they're in their teenage years, or is that something that starts younger?
Sometimes we see it younger, and most of the time it's displayed by behaving like a bully towards other children or girls at school, in the neighborhood. And then once they hit adolescent stage and they initiate the process of being in relationships, this behavior starts to show, sometimes with physical aggression, sometimes just with emotional abuse or psychological abuse, and later on moving towards other things as they turn into adults.
And you were talking a little bit earlier, Steve, about the bully situation. There was a statistic you gave me before we went on the air.
Yes. There's actually a statistic that says that bullies are four times more likely to become abusers as adults. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when I go around the schools, I go for a one-time deal, which would consist of teaching them about healthy relationships, bullying, as well as building self-esteem. Or I could do an 8-week curriculum, which I would go once a week to the students, and I teach them – again, I teach them healthy relationships. I talk to them about gender stereotypes. I also do a presentation on bullying, building their self-esteem, on communication.
How do you teach a kid not to be a bully, though? I can just see looking at a kid in sixth grade and say, hey, being a bully is not okay. How do you teach that to somebody?
Well, a lot of times, first of all, kids that become bully, a lot of times they see it at home, or they're being bullied themselves, so they're kind of duplicating what they're mm-hmm. experiencing. So I basically, the other thing happens is where kids, just like within friends, they try to egg each other on, So the idea is to kind of let them know, you want to be a leader. You don't want to be a follower in being part of that culture. You want to
lead people away from believing in the bully.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then the bully's thing kind of shatters when nobody's bullying him for his bullying.
Right.
So we talked a little bit about bystanders, Colin, earlier, and you were talking about getting rid of the culture that says that it's okay to just sit there and silently allow these things to happen.
Right, and that's something that's prevalent for grown men just out in the workplace or out on the town basically not making it okay, not allowing it to be okay for people to make certain inappropriate jokes or talk about behavior. Oh, absolutely. I mean, but it's something that's going to be necessary to create real change.
I mean, even as a grown man, it's got to be tough. You're out there and you have some guy that's boasting about whatever or saying things. I mean, how
do you... It's much easier to be silent, right? But that's not going to change anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are you teaching that with kids? Is it hard to teach them empathy for them to understand that you're hurting people's feelings this way?
Yeah, I actually when I do the 8-week curriculum, one of the topics I cover is communication, and within that topic, I address catcalling. And basically, for those people who are not aware of what that is, it's basically when men shout out to women in the street, you know, make comments to them. So I actually address that. And right off the bat, it's interesting because a lot of them are like, you know, the boys are like, oh, but what's wrong with that? You know, because that's maybe what they've been taught and that's what they're seeing. But I actually turn the tables on them in order to give them that empathy, like you were saying. And I tell them, well, how would you like it if it was your mother walking down the street and some guy would hit on her? And then that just kind of like – they're like, whoa, I wouldn't like that. So that's kind of like how I put it.
Even more than that, even more than just relating it to a female that's in your orbit, because I've heard so many men say, I didn't really pay much attention to sexual harassment and all that kind of stuff until I had a daughter and then I cared. You hear that all the time, and a lot of times women hear that and think, well, you probably should have cared before you had your own daughter or your own wife to consider. And it's kind of not really the same. And Yara, I'm going to ask you, I mean, do you see anything wrong with men not caring until they have their own little girl to think about?
I do, because sometimes a lot of time went on without them doing anything or seeing it any different, which adds to the problem, of course. And as they're saying, it doesn't really do anything for the issue to not do anything prior to having a daughter. I think part of what they were just explaining now is also breaking that sense of entitlement. So because I'm a boy, it's okay for me to grab, or because I'm a boy, it's okay for me to hit because I am stronger, or because I'm a boy, I have to behave aggressively in order to be a boy. It's part of that entitlement and that false perception of what makes us strong as boys or girls.
Is it difficult, do you think, for men to understand how women feel in these situations? Because to level that playing field, you would have to have a man being hit on aggressively by a person that's much larger and more powerful than him. And that generally just doesn't happen very often.
Right. Oftentimes, it is very difficult for them to understand it unless it's hitting home, right? Unless it's happening to their daughter or happening to someone that they care about. Otherwise, oftentimes, men tend to want to minimize it. And when you look at that, it also turns into, I see what you're saying, but it hasn't happened to me, so I don't really get it, and I don't want to get involved.
It's kind of hard to get that deeply involved, and it's kind of hard to truly understand how a whole other gender is feeling about a situation.
Yes. And as a whole, that is hard to do. And with this particular issue for years and years, we have been trying to change the perception. And one of the big obstacles that we had was trying to get the other gender to understand and realize how all of these little small behaviors or ways of thinking affected domestic violence and affected the way men behaved in relationships. We have made some progress. And what they're doing is part of that.
Yeah. Colin, do you feel like the current climate right now with the Me Too movement and things like that, do you think that's kind of helping bring things to a crescendo?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is. There's that, what's going on in the NFL. You know, we've been kind of like tracking that since I got involved with the group like 4 years ago.
Well, the domestic violence, yes.
Yeah. You know, domestic violence cases in the NFL also, you know, definitely speaks to what's going on right now, and I think a need for having more men's groups, more men getting involved in general, and possibly, you know, more guys getting together in their own communities and starting up a group, you know, Stand With Women to, you know, End Domestic Violence.
How do men respond to this when you're talking with them about it? I mean, do they kind of fall on one side or the other, like, what doesn't really apply to me, I'm not that guy, and so I would never do that, so why should I get involved at all? Or people
that
say...
I don't think so, and it's not like something that's super comfortable for guys to talk about. You know, most guys would prefer to just, you know,
talk about the football itself.
Right.
Right.
But when, you know, when we talk to them about the tailgate party and attending a party that's against domestic violence and helping to bring an end to domestic violence, they're supportive. And
it has to be kind of something they want to go to anyway.
Right. And you know, and we kind of the guys who founded this event found it as a lunch, and slowly it's kind of emerged into like a guys styled event in the evening. That's like sports themed. There's games, great food, and you know, a place to gather and enjoy themselves. You know, and we have a great speaker this year. Troy Vincent from the NFL is coming, and he's got a great message. So, you know, this year my goal as a committee member is to, you know, get people to show up to this event and buy a ticket and support the Naples shelter. But back to your question, though, you know, I think most guys are definitely supportive. You know, if they find out a way that they can help. That's all they need, you know, just a way to, you know, otherwise people just will leave it in the dark, you know.
There are probably some men that maybe just feel like powerless. It's beyond them to get involved, right? So a group like this makes sense.
If you have people talking about it, you know, it brings it into the light and makes it okay to start discussing.
Oftentimes, too, what we notice and realize is that sometimes men perceive domestic violence as somebody who has to be hitting and somebody who has to be using physical force. And so when you talk about the issue, they don't understand that it's a lot more than that. When you look at abuser profiles, out of all of the abuser profiles, there's only three that meet criteria for physically hitting. All of the other profiles are part of terrorizing emotionally and psychologically the victim. And so I think that taking away that wrong perception that domestic violence equals hitting, and if there's no hitting, there is no abuse. I think that that's also very powerful.
Mm-hmm. I'm joined in studio today by two members of a group in Naples called Gentlemen Against Domestic Violence. It supports the shelter for abused women and children and reaches out to boys in an effort to prevent domestic violence. And we're also talking with FGCU criminal justice professor of the class called Domestic Violence, Yaro Garcia. And I wanted to talk to you, well, also, if you want to get involved in the conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Yaro Garcia, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about this course. This is part of a criminal justice program, correct?
Yes.
And it's just on domestic violence.
Yes, and other forms of violence are also discussed in the class, such as human trafficking and sexual abuse.
How long has this course been being taught?
About 4 years.
And it's an elective or is it required?
It's an elective.
But it's always full. It's full already.
It's full, yes. It's my biggest course yet at the university.
So why do you think that students are responding so much to this course?
I think it's a combination of possibly two things. One is we have gotten bombarded possibly in the last 2 years with a lot of media attention related to issues with violence, especially against women. And I think the other reason is in the past 2 years, I've seen a complete change on the number of male students who are taking the course.
Really? What is it, 50-50 or?
It's not 50-50 yet, but is probably an increase of about 30% from when the course started. And so I think there is a curiosity as to what does this mean and what is this all about. And one of the things that I did this year when the course finished was to go through each one of the students and them tell me what they had gotten from the course and what they had learned the most. And I found that with the male students that had taken the course, their information regarding what they had learned had to do with it hit home for me because while you were discussing these issues, I realized that I might have engaged in some of that, or I realized that I have a parent who does that, or I have an uncle who's just like that. And so they had a realization that, wow, this is very close to me.
Maybe more pervasive than
exactly.
They knew.
Exactly, yes. It's having those 15 weeks of hearing about it constantly and learning the deep aspects of this issue opened the door to them realizing it's very close.
What do you think about something like what this group is doing? You have kind of a two-pronged thing. You have the gentlemen, which is being an advocate on the male side,
yes,
to work towards, you know, an understanding and partnership of women that are dealing with domestic violence issues. And then you also have that early intervention angle, which Steve is doing with the young boys. What do you think about something like that? Could you have imagined something like this happening 10 years ago?
Not 10 years ago.
Even 5 years ago.
Yes.
Well, it started four, right?
So I think 10 years ago, we were still at a place where we thought that it happens to those people, and we always thought that it couldn't happen to us. And I think everyone was kind of still in that mentality. And if it happened, it's something that you shouldn't be talking about. I think a lot of secrecy was still going on. This is opening up the door to completely take away that secrecy, that men don't get involved in these issues and they cannot advocate and they cannot do anything about it, because if you're not doing it, then what does it have to do with you, right? These are men who are not doing it and they're involved.
And Steve, so what made you get involved in something like this?
Oh, well, I got involved in it because just growing up, I witnessed a lot of my friends and their families being, you know, involved in domestic violence situations. And, you know, growing up, you kind of just, you know, I was lucky that I didn't have that type of an upbringing. But the people around me did. And, you know, you just wanted to help them. You know, so as I got older, I saw this opportunity and that's why I got involved with it.
How long have you been an advocate in this way?
I started in April.
In April, okay.
Yeah, in April of this year, yeah.
Is it your full-time thing?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what you do all the time, is you work with young boys and young people to get them to understand about it.
That's correct, yeah. And another kind of like piggybacking off of,
sure,
of what the professor teaches here, one of the other things that I do teach in my 8-week curriculum is about human trafficking awareness. And I think that's important because we need to let our – especially like our teens know, you know, about – how social media, for example, tries to lure them in, you know, through their advertisements, you know, in order to get them, you know, to capture them, to make them part of the whole human trafficking.
Yeah, and that whole older fake boyfriend guy, the Romeo that gets
exactly,
them, yeah,
exactly. And then I also tailor it based on the age group, because of course you can't talk to an elementary school kid the same way you talk to a teenager in high school. So for elementary and middle school, I address it as beware of strangers, you mm-hmm. know, and then I take that approach on it.
And then with older kids, don't get yourself swept off your feet by
– Exactly.
And that's tough too, because again, like that, those teenage years are that insecure time when it's really hard to have firm footing when you're a teenager. So how does somebody get involved in your 8-week session or your one-time session? Do schools come to you or do organizations come to you, or are you seeking them out?
I mean, I usually seek them out, but there are some that actually come and ask us for our services, you know, and our services are completely free. So
then how does the 8-week thing work? You go to them
yes.
once a week for 8 weeks? Or
that's correct. Yeah.
And for an hour? Or?
For an hour. Yeah. I mean, I cater it to their needs. Some people, you know, they tell me, look, I only got 45 minutes, you know, for the class, so I only do 45 minutes. But some people tell me I need an hour, I need an hour and a half. So I just cater it to, you know, to whatever their needs are.
Mm-hmm. And so, Colin, so Steve is working with the gentlemen.
Yeah, so the Gentlemen Against Domestic Violence is a group that formed 10 years ago and created the Raising Gentlemen program, which is what Steve is an advocate for.
Okay.
So, you know, the GADV raises money in their fundraiser, which is the tailgate, for the shelter to fund the program. And then we've also raised money in the past for other needs of the shelter. We did a playground and a van 1 year. And this year we're going to try to fundraise for some other things also. Like we're going to try to fundraise that community education room in the new shelter in Immokalee.
Mm-hmm.
And so
– And didn't you ride your bike up to Washington, D.C. or something a couple years ago?
We did. Actually, Gordon Callum and Glenn Schlesinger climbed Mount Kilimanjaro a couple years ago to raise awareness and to fundraise for the shelter. And then after that, we did do a bike ride from Naples to D.C. And just it was a awareness raising and fundraising is something that we were able to do. And it was really, you know, I think we got more out of it than.
I want to say something about what they're doing, because we were talking about the 10-year thing and would I have thought that this would be happening. And I think if if we look at this, how many men can actually say, this is what I do full time, or this is what I'm doing
exactly.
with my free time? And I think 10 years from now, if we were having this conversation again, what I would like to see is to have a whole bunch of men who are involved in this way to see more of this, for this to happen a lot more than what we're seeing.
Yeah, because when you exist in an echo chamber on social media and you're watching Twitter and all the negativity, it just seems like there's not a single good person out there anymore. So it's good to know that there's even something going on. And how do people get involved if they want to get involved?
So the best way to get involved right now is to attend our tailgate event. And that's going to be February 13th at Gray Oaks Country Club. You can go to the shelter website to get more information and buy tickets. And for right now, that's what we have. We're also looking to support his mentor program by having guys from the community come in and speak to the mentees, and just maybe share their experience of what it's like to act like a gentleman and be kind and, hopefully share a message of, changing the gender stereotypes.
So, Steve, you're bringing mentors in sometimes to talk to some of the kids?
Yes. I'm having expert speakers on their particular subject, anywhere from career exploration to colleges, because the idea is basically to supplement what we do there at the shelter with the whole domestic violence. It's kind of like to give them something better to look forward to, that they don't have to stay within that environment. There's something more on the other side of the bridge, and so it's about a lot about career exploration. Talk about, relationships, just so to break that cycle as at the same time to build their self-esteem.
A little bit of empowerment.
Exactly.
Right?
Absolutely.
So can you tell me a little bit about, maybe an anecdotal, statement about how the kids are reacting? Are there young kids? How do they react to these kinds of conversation? And then how do some of the older kids react? Is it kind of hard to break that veneer with some of these kids? Or do you see when you make that crack and you get through to talk to some of them?
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult, especially, this is something, for a lot of them, it's something that maybe they see at, in their house, so they have a difficult time understanding because they see daddy hit mommy and that's, they're still together. So it's kind of like difficult for them sometimes to understand. But by going in there and letting them know that is not okay, what daddy's doing, that actually, does impact them, and makes them realize, okay, if daddy continues to do this, he's going to end up in jail.
Well, because it's their normal at this point.
Right.
And you're telling them that that's not the normal.
Right.
And do you ever have kids that end up kind of conflicted, unable to accept that what they're living in is not how it should be? Or do they kind of instinctively know?
I mean, I think just human nature, they instinctively know what's right and what's wrong. It's just a matter of what's acceptable, and that's what they're having a difficult time sometimes coming to realize because of the fact that, my dad does it, so it must be right,
Have you ever gotten any negative feedback from parents, whose kids go home and say, well, what you're doing is not okay, and they're telling me that this is not okay? Do you ever have parents come to you and say, hey?
Honestly, I've yet to have that.
Yeah, it'd be kind of embarrassing to come forward and say something
yeah.
like that. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes families are kind of knit up in a certain way, All right. So, Professor Garcia, are you going to be teaching this course again next year, next semester?
Yes.
Are you already
next
full?
Next year.
Are you full for spring yet?
No, it's not taught in the spring, only in the fall.
It's only in the fall.
Only in the fall.
All right,
yes.
So that will be going. Any final thoughts on the place that we're in right now with our culture? Do you think that we're reaching that point where we're going over the hill and things will be a little bit more equalized?
I think we are definitely hitting a point where men are starting to ask more questions and get more involved and starting to understand and realize how it is that they can be different or teach different. One of the things that I'm starting to see or that we're starting to see in the research is that when it comes to these issues, men are starting to be more willing to be vulnerable about learning about them and what it means to be different and not have to use their physical power to be a partner. And so I think we're heading towards progress for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Colin, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
No, just that the event is coming up this spring. We still have tickets left that people could buy on the shelter website. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really at this point the best way to get involved. So we'd love to see some more guys show up for that.
Yeah, and get them to speak up when things are being said that are mm-hmm. just not okay. Steve, any final thoughts?
Well, I actually there's a quote that I actually enjoy. It's by Frederick Douglass, and it says it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. And I think that's, you know, that's what we're here to do, try to build stronger children so we don't have to get to that point to have to repair.
Well, that's a good one to end on. So that's all the time we have for this part of the show. So we're going to leave it there. But I want to thank my guests. Colin Estrom is the Gentleman Against Domestic Violence Tailgate Chair. Carolyn, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
And Steve Agarbera is a Raising Gentleman Advocate. Steve, thanks to you as well. And thanks for all you do.
Thank you for having us.
And also thank you to Yaro Garcia, the Professor of FGCU Criminal Justice Course Domestic Violence. Professor Garcia, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're joined by Staff Officer Scott Griffith from the Lee County Sheriff's Office to learn more about his upcoming active shooter presentation for faith-based institutions. Officer Griffith has given more than 100 such presentations in recent years. We'll find out what he's teaching and how that's changing as more mass shootings continue to occur. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida.